Okay, we're holding on Erevin Daf Chaf Bet. We are on Chaf Bet Ahmed Aleph. At the very top, we compared people learning Torah to ravens. We gave a couple examples why. I'm going to give a couple more. Amar, or Rava Amar, b'misha masi matzmo achzari alpana v'bnei beito ke'orev. Someone who makes himself a radical towards his home and his children, like is a raven to his offspring. Ki ha'adar of Adavar Matna, havakazi lebe rav. Because when Adavar Matna was going to learn, Amar le debitu, his wife said to him, yanuki didicha maya avid lu, Amar la, mi shlimu karmi b'agma. So his wife asked, you know, what should I do with your children? How am I supposed to feed them? He says, what, are there no more vegetables there in the marsh? I mean, you feed them from that. Mishal son of alpanav la'avido. So Sukkim that we're darshening out, that he rewards the people who hate him to his face in order to destroy them. Meaning he gives them every reward for every small thing they deserve it for. That way, in the next world, he can wipe them out. I'm Rabbi Shuben Levi, El Malamikra Katu, V'yafshar La'omro, K'v'yachol K'adam Shinoseh Masvei Alpanav, Makshiv La'ashlichom Menu. Right? And if there wasn't a pasuk to say that, we really couldn't say it ourselves, because what does that imply about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Like these rewards for the Rishayim are like this burden that he has to take care of, that he just has to get rid of, like a person with a burden that he's just waiting to cast off his shoulders. Lo yacher l'sonav, amar Yehuda l'sonav hu lo yacher, aval yacher l'tzadikim gemurim. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not delay in rewarding his enemies. Davka his enemies, he doesn't delay in rewarding, but he delays rewarding the tzadikim, that he can push that off for a while, until the world to come. Behind the amar Rishu ben Levi, my dichtiv asher anochim yom. And that's what that's an explanation for what is written, or what Rabbi Shuvan Levi says. What does it mean, that which is written, that I commanded you to do today? Hayom lastam velo lemachar lastam. Well, we were only commanded to do them today, we're not also commanded tomorrow. Hayom lastam lemachar lekabaskaram. Rather, it means that today we're supposed to do them, and tomorrow we're going to receive their reward. Meaning in this world we would do them, and in the next world we receive the reward for doing them, but you don't receive the reward in this world. Amar Rabbi Chagai, Vitema Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Mai Dichtiv. So what does it mean, that which is written, erech apayim, right? That is anger happens slowly. Erech af, shouldn't it say erech af, right? That af is in the singular. We're talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, it should be in the singular. Ela erech apayim l'tzadikim, erech apayim l'rishayim. Rather, there is a he has different midot in how he and when he shows his anger to tzaddikim and the rishayim. The rishayim and the tzaddikim don't experience the same anger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the apayim, two different types of anger. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad beit satayim. So going back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that the area that the pasei virod are allowed to cover is two beit sa. Abayilahu bor pasin kamar or dilma bor velo pasin kamar. What do we mean? Do we mean that a pit that is two, a pit can be as large as two beit sa'ah, and then the pasei virot can be just big enough to fit the cow in? Or did we mean that the entirety of the area of the pasei virot could be two beit sa'ah? Adam notein enav bevoro v'lo gazrin adil ma'atila tzula yoter beit satayim bekarpev. Right, so here's kind of an explanation for what we're asking. Do we assume that a person looks at the pit and sees the size of the pit, and the size of the pit is two beit sa'ah, right? So he's not going to come to make a mistake and assume that he'd be allowed to carry, generally more than two beit sa'ah, right? Because if the pit is two beit sa'ah and there are surrounding areas, right, then that area is greater than two beit sa'ah. So we're concerned that a person is going to realize that he can carry inside the pasei virot, and that is greater than two beit sa'ah, in which case he may come to make a mistake in another area and carry in an area that is beyond two beit sa'ah. However, if he looks at the pit and says, this is two beit sa'ah, which makes sense because I can't carry in an area of greater than two beit sa'ah, right? Then we have no reason to make a decree that he's going to come and get confused and carry in a different area that's greater than two beit sa'ah. O dilma adam notenen av mechitzato because we're in dilma atel achlufe yotim beit sa'ah time mekarfif. Or does a person look at the mechitzas and ask, how far away are these mechitzas? Well, these mechitzas cover a span of greater than two beit sa'ah. Oh, maybe I can carry in an area of greater than two beit sa'ah. So if he looks at the mechitzas and starts doing the calculation, we're concerned that he's going to make a svara to himself that you're allowed to carry in an area that's partitioned off, even if it's greater than two beit sa'ah. However, if he looks at the pit and says, well, the pit is two beit sa'ah, then he's not going to come to make a mistake. That's what the question is based on. Now let's come and bring a proof. Tashima. Kamehen mekuravin k'dei rosh v'ruba shopara. So how close do the posts have to be? they have to fit at least the head and most of the body of a cow. It can't be closer than that. And how far away can it be? A filu kor, a filu koraim, even a kor or two kor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer beit satay moter. Yes, beit satay aser. Rabbi Yehuda then says, no, if it's two beit sa'ah, then it'll be moter. Anywhere beyond two beit sa'ah is going to be aser. Amru Rabbi Yehuda iatamod bedir visar muktzav v'chatzer. Says Rabbi Yehuda, do you not agree to us in the case of a kor, a fold, a backlot, or a chatzer? A filu beit chamesh koraim, filu aser. Right, that even if it's much bigger, 5, 10 kor, that's going to be mutar. Yeah, that's allowed because they have proper mechitzas, they have proper walls, and that's why it's permitted to carry in a larger area when you have proper mechitzas erected around them. However, when it comes to these pasim, these boards, that's not going to permit carrying in an area beyond two beit sa'ah. We've seen that before. We're bringing the brighter for the following point. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer bor beit sa'atayim, a beit sa'atayim mutar. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar says when the pit itself is two beit sa'ah, that's when it's mutar. Right, and then you didn't have to, and when they mentioned that you have to distance the boards from it, right, it should be just enough that it can fit the head and most of the body of a cow. How many kamar? Now, it would seem that from the fact that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that we're talking about a boar, a pit of two beit se'ah, and that's the size of the pit, Rabbi Yehuda must be talking about when the entire area is two beit se'ah, because if it wasn't talking about that, then he and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would be saying the exact same thing. So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda, from here we can see that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about when the entire area is two beit se'ah, not when the pit is two beit se'ah. But lohi, and that's actually not the case, that's a proper inference from about Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda bor below pasin kamar haimadu Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Ihach haimadu Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Right, Rabbi Yehuda really was talking about the pit itself being two beit se'ah and not the entire area. Well, if that's the case, he's the exact same Shita as Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Iku benayu arech v'katin. Says, no, the following is the difference between them. Right, what if it's two beit se'ah, rectangular, as opposed to square? See, if it's a square, then it's going to be, you know, two beit se'ah exactly equal on both sides. However, if it's very narrow but very long, it could also be two beit se'ah. So according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it needs to be in a square shape, and according to Rav Yehuda, it could be in any amount that the two beit se'ah would, any shape that the two beit se'ah takes up. Klal Amr Rav Shimon ben Elazar kol avish tashmisho ladira kigon dir v'sar muktzav v'chatzer afilo beit chameshet korim v'beit aseret korim mutar. Right, so the following rule Rav Shimon ben Elazar stated, right, any open space that is fit, or any open space that is being used for people living there, like a fold, a koral, a backlot, or a courtyard, right? Even if it's four kor or five kor, you're allowed to use it because it's a privately. It's an area of private dwelling. V'chol dirish tashmish la'avir, he'd go in burganish besadot, beit satayim muter, yeter beit satayim aser. However, any area, right? Any area that's used just for the air space, right, the open area, and not for living, right, that's when it's two sa'ah and no more. Okay, new Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Iim Haya Derech Rishut Rabim Mafsaktan. Right, so Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have Rishut Rabim that cuts in the middle of the Pasei Virot, Yisalken Alatzadim, you have to divert the path to the side so it doesn't interrupt the Pasei Virot, because if Rabim are passing through the Pasei Virot, you're turning that area into a Rishut Rabim. Chamim say you don't have to divert that path. The Rabim can pass through all they want. That doesn't change what's going on. That doesn't change the fact that it's a Rishut Yachid. So again, very clear, very important that we have these sheets clear. Rabbi Yehuda says, if Rabim are passing through it, it's going to ruin the Rishut Yachid. So you got to divert the Rabim. According to the Chachamim, no, I don't care if the Rabim are passing through it. It's not going to do anything to my Rishut. The Rabim is going to stay a Rishut Yachid. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lezer, Da'amri Tarvayhu, Kano Diachakochan Shal Mechitzot. Right, so Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lezer say together, we see the power of Mechitzot, that once you have Mechitzot, even if Rabim pass through it, there's no way they can interrupt the status of the Rishut Yachid. Kano Sirale. Right, and Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara comments that kan usvirale, meaning we could see from the Rabbanan, and also we hold like the Rabbanan. That's what we meant to imply. Really, didn't we hear in the name of Rabbi Yochanan who said that when it comes to Yerushalayim, had it not been for the fact that it's doors are locked at night, it would be considered a Rishut Rabim. Meaning, even though there are walls around it, if we didn't lock the doors at night, it would be considered a Rishut Rabim because people pass through it. So, seemingly, if you have proper mechitzot and people pass through it, it's going to be a Rishut Rabim, right? So that we see from Rabbi Yochanan. that even though there are partitions, the partitions seem to not work to keep it as Rishuti Yachid. Ela kan v'lo svirele. Rather, they're saying, we just see the power of Mechitzot according to the Chachamim, but that doesn't mean we hold by them. Rami d'Rabbi Yehuda, ad Rabbi Yehuda, Rami d'Rabbanan, ad Rabbanan. But now we can pose a contradiction between two different Shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and two different Shitas of the Rabbanan. Again, Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabim walking through a partitioned area ruins the status of Shuti Yachid, and the Rabbanan say it doesn't ruin, right? So how do we challenge both of these Shitas? D'Tanya, we're going to write a Yeter, or how do we rather pose that there's a contradiction between the Shitas? D'Tanya, Yeter Al-Kein, Amar B'Yuda, Mishayu lo Shnei Batim, Shnei Tzidr Shudu Rabim, Oze lo Lechem Ikan, O Lechem Ikan, O Korv Ikan, O Korv Ikan, Nosev Inotim, right? So the Braita says that Rabbi Yehuda speaks about a person who has houses on either side of the Shuta Rabim, right? So what do? So you can make a lechi on either side or a kura on either side, and then you're allowed to carry in between the two. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly says that you're allowed to partition off a Shuta Rabim area, even though people are going to walk through there because you have lechis. Amrlo in Marvin the Shuta Rabim Kach. And then the Rabbanan say, no, you can't make an Erev around the Shuta Rabim. So clearly, Rabbi Yehuda used to say that, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that when Rabim passed through an area, it cannot be a Rishuti Yachid. Here he says that you can still have a Rishuti Yachid in the middle of the Rabim. And whereas the Rabbanan generally say if the Rabim passes through it, it's still a Rishuti Yachid. Here they say you can't create this Rabim area into Rishuti Yachid. Kasha the Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. So that seems to be a contradiction between two of Rabbi Yehuda Shitas and two Rabbanan Shitas. Rabbi Yehuda Lokashia, Atan the Ikashte Mechitzot Ma'alaita, Chalekashte Mechitzot Ma'alaita. That's not a difficulty, because there, by the Kura or the Lechi, we see this as two proper partitions. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, when you have two proper partitions, that's when you're allowed to carry in between. However, the Pase Veirot are not proper partitions, right? They're boards. They're more lenient than the Mechitzot that we are aware of, in which case, they do not constitute such an area. So the Rabbin passed through, they're going to ruin the Rishuti Yachid status. But the Rabbin passed through your proper mechitzot that you erected between your two homes, that is not going to ruin the Rishuti Rabbin status. The Rabbanan, Nami Lokashia, Hadam Lekashem, Arba Mechitzot, right? And the Rabbanan is also not a contradiction, right? Because when they protested to what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that's when you had two kuras, right? However, when it comes to Pasei Veirot, you have four mechitzot, right? You have four proper mechitzot, and therefore, that's a much stronger Rishuti Yachid. Right, in which case the Rabbin passing through it is not going to ruin it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eretz Yisrael ein chayvin lemishum Rishut Rabbin. Eretz Yisrael not considered Rishut Rabbin. Yati Rav Dimi v'kamar leila hashamata ma'itama. Rav Dimi sat and said, "Well, that ruling, you know, what's the reason for that ruling? Wait, what's the logic there? Ileim mishum demakif la sul maritzur me'achgisa u machtana degader me'achgisa. You might want to say that there's a rocky mountains on one side and a deep drop on the other side, and those are natural." Like those are, you know, natural physical features in nature that serve as partitions, and that completely separates Eretz Yisrael and doesn't consider it in Rishut Rabim. Bavel nami makif la prad me'achgisa v'diglat me'haygisa. Well, then you have to say the same thing about Bavel, because Bavel is surrounded by the Euphrates on one side and the Tigris on the other side, right? Nechula alma nami makif okeanos, and for that matter, the entire world is surrounded by ocean. So maybe what you meant to say is because of the very steep inclines and declines around the area. Amarle Karpafna. Right? Maybe what you wanted to say is only where there are very steep inclines and declines, we consider Rishuti Yachid, but everything else in Israel is Rishuti Rabim. Amar Lei Karpafna, Chazite L'Reishach Bein Emude, Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan La'ashamata. So Rav Dimi said, Abaye, you know, I saw your head sticking out in Rabbi Yochanan's shir when he said exactly that svara, when he gave exactly that answer that we were talking about, only the steep areas of Eretz Yisrael. Now, of course, Abaye was not in Rabbi Yochanan's shir. However, the idea was that it was like you were there, because that's exactly what he said. Eat mar nami kiata rabbi namar rabbi Yochanan amri lev amar rabbi Abau amar rabbi Yochanan malot moradot shberet Yisrael en chavin ala mishum shud rabbi fisha en gedig le midbar. Alternatively, you could answer as follows, that the hills of Eretz Yisrael aren't considered shud rabbi because they're not similar to the area of the midbar that we first see the shud rabbi, right, where the club where Klal Yisrael encamped, where it was all flat ground. Ba minei rachava mirava. So Rachava asked Rava the following question. Tail on the plaque of Sarmatoch Arba, Rabbim Bokim Bo, Chayvin Alav, Mishum Shuta Rabbim, Oin Chayvin Alav. Let's see the following case. Right, you have a 10 tefach high mound, or rather, you have a mound that raises a height of 10 tefachim over the course of 4 amot. Right, so that's the slope that we're dealing with, where it, where over the course of 4 amot and width wise, it goes up 10 tefachim. Right, so that's a reasonably steep slope. Or you know, it's something of a slope. It's not particularly deep slope. But what that does is it makes it very inconvenient for people to traverse there. So somewhere that's convenient for Rabbim to pass through, and Rabbim are going to pass through, it's a very good chance that Rabbim are going to nullify the status of the Shuti Yachid. However, if we're talking about an area that's very inconvenient for Rabbim to pass through, then it's much less likely that we're going to say, well, you know, how likely and how common are Rabbim passing through this? They have to go out of their way. It's such an inconvenience to, you know, walk over slopes. It's less convenient. Much less of a chance that the Rishut Rabbim, that Rabbim are going to come and nullify the status as a Shuti Yachid. So we're asking about that slope, right? If there's an area of such a slope, right? Do the Rabbim walking through that make that Rishut Rabbim? Or do we say that no, it's inconvenient to pass through that, and so they're not going to turn it into a Rishut Rabbim? It's going to maintain Rishut Yachid. Alibi the Rabbanan loti ba'elach, hashtau ma'atan de nicha tashmishte, amr Rabbanan lo, ati Rabbim vat, ati Rabbim vatile mechitzatach, lo nicha tashmishte lo kolchiken. Well, regarding the Rabbanan, really, it's not a question regarding the Rabbanan. Obviously, it's not going to be mevatel Rishut Yachid. How do you know? Because the rabbis deal with the case, where the Rabbanan deals with the case, where it's very easy and convenient to walk through a certain area. You're just walking through a straight Rishut Rabbim with Pasei Virot, and still they say they're not going to nullify it. So when they come to an area that's convenient and that Rabbim are probably not going to pass through as often, there you're going to say, no, the Rabbim would pass through and nullify it? No, if it's, it maintains the Rishut Yachid status when it's very easy for people to walk through, all the more so it's going to maintain a Rishut Yachid status when it's hard for people to walk through. So really, your question about this mound only exists according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what is the law according to Rabbi Yehuda? Adam hu denicha tashmishtei, hacha hu delo nicha tashmishtei. Right there, what we were talking about with the Rabbim walking through the Pasei Virot, that's when it's very easy for Rabbim to pass through, and so they turn that into the Rishut Rabbim. However, here, by our case, by the mound, right, because of the incline, it's not very convenient to walk through. So maybe you want to say, that where it's not convenient to walk through, lo atu rabim vatam lichitzata, odim aloshna. So maybe we would say in that case, the rabim are not going to come through and nullify our partitions into the Rishut Rabbim. Rather, it's going to stay a Rishut Yachid. When you have a Rishut Yachid built around an area that's very inconvenient for rabim to pass through, so we're not concerned that they're going to come and nullify that area. Or maybe it doesn't make a difference, and in any event, he would say that if Rabbim passed through it, no matter how inconvenient it is for them to do so, if Rabbim passed through it, becomes a Rishut HaRabbim. Amar Lei Chayavin, right? You're Chayav, meaning we treat it like a Rishut HaRabbim, even though it's inconvenient. V'afilu Olin Lo V'Chevel, Amar Lo'in. He says, what if it's so steep that you can only climb up that with a rope? Still, if Rabbim passed through, it's going to be Mivatel M'chitza? He says, yeah, still. Any case, regardless of how inconvenient it is for the Rabbim, if they pass through it, it's going to make it Rishut HaRabbim. Afilu Ma'alot Beit Meron, and even like the ascents of Beit Meron, which are very, very steep, Amar Le'in says, yeah, even those. Eidive, but we can challenge that Shita, because basically, Rav just asserted that Rav Yehuda does not distinguish between areas that are difficult to travel through, that wherever the Rabbim go, they're going to nullify the Rishut Yachid status. Eidive, so we can challenge that. Chata Sheh Rabbim Nichnasim Lo Bezo V'yotzim Bezo Rishut Rabbim Nutum Rishut Yachid L'Shabbat. Right? If a courtyard that the Rabbim pass through from one side to the other, it's considered a Rishut Rabbim when it comes to Tuma. Tuma has an interesting nafkamina when it comes to Rishut Rabbim, that Suffolk Tuma Rishut Rabbim is going to be Moter, Suffolk Tuma Rishut Yachid is going to be Aser. However, so this Chatzer is considered a Rishut Rabbim when it comes to Tuma, but it's not going to be considered a Rishut Rabbim when it comes to Shabbat. It's Rishut HaYachid when it comes to Shabbat, even though the Rabbim passed through it. Mani. So who is the author of that Braita? Ilem Rabbanon, Hashto Mahatam Denicha Tashmishte, Am Rabbanon Lo Atu Rabbim Vatam Lechitzata, Achad Lo Nicha Tashmishte Lo Kolshagin. If you want to say that the author of this Braita is the Rabbanon, that doesn't make any sense. The Chatzer is more difficult to pass through than the Pasei Virot. So in the case of Pasei Virot, if the Rabbim passing through doesn't make it Rosh HaDerabim, then all the more so in our case, in the case of the Chatzer, they're not going to turn it into the Rosh HaDerabim. In which case, why would we need a Braita to teach us that that passing through a Chatzer doesn't turn it into Rosh HaDerabim, right? I know, according to the Rabbanan, it's not going to turn it into the Rosh HaDerabim. It's the most obvious thing in the world. There'd be absolutely no reason to mention it, because it's very clear from the Rabbanan Shita that they would not believe that a Chatzer would... Meaning, it's not that this is different than the Rabbanan Shita. It's not like there's a contradiction to the Rabbanan Shita. It's so obvious that the Rabbanan would say that it doesn't turn into the Rosh HaDerabim, because even passing through a field with Pasevi Road doesn't turn it into the Rosh HaDerabim. In which case, there'd be no necessity to bring it for the Rabbanan Shita. Ela lav Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, and that way we're actually making a Chiddush, right? Because if we say it's Rabbi Yehuda, then we're actually making a chiddush, right? Because if Rabbi Yehuda would say that when it comes to a chatzer, oh, that's inconvenient for the rabbim to pass through, so they're not going to turn it into a reshut rabbim. However, in an open field, that's convenient, so they're going to turn it into a reshut rabbim. But if it is Rabbi Yehuda's shita, then we have a problem, because then Rabbi Yehuda seems to differentiate between how difficult it is for rabbim to pass through in order to determine whether it becomes a reshut rabbim. But Rava just quoted that Shmuel says that regardless of how difficult it is to pass through, it's always going to be considered a Shita Rabbim. Lo Rabbanan. Rather, actually, it's really the Rabbanan Shita. So it's not Shmuel Shita, and you don't have a contradiction to that which Rava said, that Shmuel doesn't differentiate between how difficult it is for the Rabbin to pass through, right? Because it's really the Rabbanan Shita. But wait, but how is this the Rabbanan Shita? Wouldn't it be so obvious? They already taught us the more stringent case. Obviously, in this case, it's not going to turn into a Shita Rabbim, because it's a Chatzer. It's harder to pass through. Shita Rabbim, Latuma, Tzrichale. Yeah, but they weren't coming to teach you the din of the Shita Rabbim by Shabbat. They were coming to teach you the din of the Shuta Rabbim by Tuma, in which case, yes, it's obvious that they would say that it stays a Rishuta Yachid for Shabbat, but it's not obvious that it stays Rishuta but it's not obvious that it's a Rishuta Rabbim for Tuma. So they only brought in this din to teach you the Shuta Rabbim by Tuma, and they didn't bring it in for Shabbat at all. But while we were teaching it, we just taught it Derech Agav. This is how they hold by Shabbat. But that's why we needed it, because it is a Chiddush. Tashema, okay, another similar proof. Mavot Mavulashot Bevorot Beshichin of Marot. Rishuta Yachid for Shabbat, Rishuta Rabbim. Right, so a mavoi, an alleyway that opens up into a pit, a ditch, and a cave, is considered a private domain when it comes to Shabbat, and a public domain when it comes to Tuma. They open up into a pit? What? Then the entire alleyway is in a pit. No, rather it opens up to a pit, right? So the edge of the alleyway is open up right to the pit, which is the Yachid of Shabbat, which is the Rabbim of Tuma. Still, it's a private domain when it comes to Shabbat, and it's a public domain when it comes to Tuma. Seemingly that pit serves to partition off the mavoi, the alleyway, from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Mani. Now, who is the author of this Braita? Ilei Merabbanan Hashda Mahatam Denichat Hashmishtei Amar Le'atu Rabbim Vatlele Hadlo Nichat Hashmishtei Lo Kol Shekein. But it doesn't make sense to assume it would be the Rabbanan Shita, because this is too obvious to be the Rabbanan Shita. You wouldn't need to tell me if you're teaching me something by the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan already say, in a case where it's convenient to walk through by the Rabbim aren't Mevatel Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Here, it's difficult to walk through. So all the more so, they were going to say that the Rabbim aren't Mevatel Rosh Hashanah Yachid, right? In which case, there would be no reason to teach it if this is the Rabbi. Shita. It's obvious from their Shita, from the Mishnah, that they would hold that if it's more difficult to pass through, Kal v'chomer the Rabbim aren't going to be Mevatel Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Ela Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, who must say that there's a distinction as to whether it's easy to walk through or hard to walk through, because this is more difficult to walk through, because it's a mavoi that opens up into a ditch. So even here, so Rabbi Yehuda would say, the Rabbim are not going to be Mevatel Rosh Hashanah Yachid status of it, because it's difficult for the Rabbim to walk through, but that would clearly pose a problem for Rava's Shita, who maintained that, because Rava maintained that Rava makes, that Rabbi Yehuda makes no distinction between how difficult it is for the Rabbim to pass through. The moment they're able to pass through, then it's going to nullify their, if they do so, they're going to nullify the status of Shuti Yachid. Lo Olam Rabbanan. No, it's not a contradiction for Rava, because really this is the Rabbanan Shita. It's not Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. It's not Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Have I been saying Shmuel sometimes? I may have been confusing myself. It's not Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Reshuta Rabbim Latuma Yisrichalei. Because we didn't, yes, it's obvious that it's going to be Reshuta Yachid when it comes to Shabbat, but it's not obvious that it's going to be Reshuta Rabbim for Tuma. That's why we taught the Braita, the teacher, that it's Reshuta Rabbim for Tuma. And Derech Agav, we taught you by Reshuta Yachid, for Shabbat. But even though that was an obvious din, we didn't bring it in for that din, and that's why we needed to bring it in. Okay, another potential proof against, another potential proof against Rava's statements. Tashima. Shvilei Beit Gilgul. So the paths of Beit Gilgul, and for that matter, all similar paths, which are very steep, they are Rosh Hashanah Yachid when it comes to Shabbat. Right, and how steep are the paths of Beit Gilgul that this would apply to? It's so steep that if a slave comes and steals some wheat, he's not going to be able to run away from the officers who are going to catch him because the hill is so steep. That's how steep it is. Mani. Now, who holds this? Do you really want to say it's the Rabbanan Shrita? But here is a case. You want to teach me, oh, it's a Shrita Yachid for Shabbat because it's difficult to travel through. If something that's easy for the Rabbin to travel through is going to be a Shrita Yachid on Shabbat, Kal v'chomer, something that's difficult for the Rabbin to pass through is going to be a Shrita Yachid on Shabbat, there'd be no reason to teach me this Mishnah, this Breita, sorry, because obviously according to the Rabbanan, it's going to be a Shrita Yachid. Rather, El Rabbi Yehuda, it must be Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and Rabbi Yehuda does in fact differentiate between how difficult it is for the Rabbin to pass through. Amar Leish, Shvilei Beit Gilgul Kamarta. Are you really bringing me, you really think that you can challenge Rava's statement by Shvilei Beit Gilgul, right? But Yoshua Oev Yisrael Haya, Amad Vatikin Lehem Drachim Misartia, Kolecha Denicha Tashmishta, Misara Larabim, Kolecha Delonicha Tashmishta, Masra Leyachid, right? So, Yoshua, in order to make things more convenient for Klal Yisrael, he said anything which is convenient to travel through is considered Rishut HaRabim, but something is very, very inconvenient to travel through, then it's going to be a Rishut HaYachid. Right? So that was what Yehoshua did, in which case it's not a good raya, because you're talking about a place in Eretz Yisrael that's very steep for traveling, and that I know that Yeshua already permitted that as a private area. However, what Rava was talking about was in Chutz La'aretz, and in Chutz La'aretz they never had such a takana, they never had such a gzera that any steep area is going to be considered a Rishut Yachid. Yehoshua never said such a thing, in which case you can't bring me a raya from something in Eretz Yisrael to a general shita of Rav Yehuda that we were applying to outside of Eretz Yisrael, where it would still be considered a Rishut Rabim. We'll stop here.